Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. All right, friends, welcome. This is episode number 4 of the Real Estate Sales Show, where we get this, show you how to do more real estate sales. That makes kind of sense, right? I'm your host, Danny Morrell. Excited to spend a couple of moments with you today interviewing someone that I think is going to go down as one of the greats in the industry. And I say that because part of becoming successful in real estate sales or in any business endeavor at all is learning how to first master like what goes on in your head, right? That's number one. And then once you can get centered in that, then you have to master the skill set of your real estate business or of whatever business it is that you're trying to accomplish. And here's a young man who has absolutely done that. Go ahead and let me introduce him right now. Adrian, say hello.
Hello, how's it going, everybody?
This is Adrian Hernandez. Adrian, tell him where you work.
I work at Intero Real Estate here in Rancho Cucamonga.
Fantastic. And so let's go ahead and let's jump right into it, okay?
Okay.
So First things first, this is a little special because we'll tell them how we met. How did we meet?
Well, we met, 4 years ago? About 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And we instantly, it's funny because I wanted to work with you and I remember coming here to this office. I came here about 3 times. You're like, no. You kept pushing me.
You bugged me like crazy. Yeah. I remember that. Okay, right, cool.
Right.
All right.
I had no other option.
That's right. Right.
So I it was 4.5 years ago, and then you finally gave me the opportunity to work with him, which, you know, it was crazy because I went straight into being your assistant, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, Adrian was like officially my first assistant. It was at a time where we were barely starting the company. I couldn't afford to pay him, so I paid him. You know, we still joke. I think the EDD like should come and like put me in jail or something, right? For child abuse here, because I think Adrian worked like 60 hours a week, and I think he got paid for 10.
Yeah.
And I think I paid him like $4 an hour or something ridiculous, right? But, you know, let's talk about that. Through that, you know, you learn perseverance.
Right.
You learned a lot of the basics of the business.
Right.
When did you get licensed?
So I got licensed in March of 2013,
okay,
which was about 6 months working with you,
right?
As it's been in.
Right.
Instantly started to pick up on what you were doing, how you were doing it. And then, you know, of course, seeing the income that was coming, I was like, wow.
This is good.
Yeah, this is great.
So one of the things that I remember about you, Adrian, and one of the things that you will start to hear throughout your time with us on this show is the importance of learning what to say and how to communicate. You know, and I've got to tell you, most everything that we do here is live with very little editing, if any editing at all. Okay. And that just comes from years of practice upon practice of being comfortable with what to say. Describe to our viewers and to our listeners, Adrian, what was your schedule like when you first got started and how committed were you to the process of learning how to become a better salesperson?
Right. And, you know, it's funny you say that because right when I came in, I knew that I wasn't going to get paid a lot. And mm-hmm. and in my eyes, the knowledge was what, in essence, was what, in return of what I was getting.
Right.
And so knowing that, I knew that in real estate, it was probably going to take me a good 90 to 100 days to get my first transaction.
Okay.
So I spent literally, I remember first getting started and you told us to do this. Me and Nick went and knocked 1,000 doors within that first week. And with that, all we did was practice on our skill set. And it was skill set after hours. I believe the first 6 months was at least 4 to 5 hours of complete, dedicated understanding the skill set, understanding what to say, how to say it, and when to say it.
So let me get this straight. So you did 1,000 doors.
Right.
And this was over the course of how long?
Well, I think we did it in about a week. That was our trial period. We were bugging you on what to do. How do we get started?
Right.
You were like, here's some flyers. Go knock 1,000 doors.
Yeah, go get it done.
Let me see that you can knock the doors.
That's right.
So we went. We knocked the doors. Nothing. You know, of course, you know, we're getting the door slammed in us. If there was opportunity, we couldn't see it.
Right.
And so it took that. And I'm really thankful that we did that because it allowed us to understand, okay, wait, hold on. We really got to
understand. This is serious.
Yeah. We really got to bend in and push forward on.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Adrian, because you know, one of my beliefs is that And I call it flatlining in the business, right? You know, people get excited, they get their license, they get things going. And this is the same across the board, by the way. This is title, this is insurance, this is real estate, this is mortgage, this is all across the board. It's kind of like people hit this cap where they earn about 100,000, 120, whatever the case may be. And it's like they flatline and they stay in that level of production, you know, 15 to 25 deals a year for the most part. I'm not saying everybody, but you know what I'm talking about? And I think one of the reasons why is because they're afraid of doing what you said you did right from the beginning.
Right.
So how valuable was that for you to get started that way?
I really see it as the true foundation of how I built my business.
Okay.
And the reason being is because if it wasn't for that first year of us dedicating that first 1,000 doors that opened our mind and then spending the rest of the year building this foundation, if it wasn't for that, I honestly wouldn't be at the production level that I'm at.
That you're at right now.
Right.
Okay, great. So let's talk about something else. How old were you when you started in the business?
I started at 20. I wasn't even 21 yet.
Okay, so you were 20 years old. And you know what's funny? This thought just came into my mind. I remember living in New Jersey, and I remember these things called Pop Rocks. You remember Pop Rocks?
Right.
You put them in your mouth, and they start jumping all over the place.
Right.
Well, that was your emotions when you first got started.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people, let me tell you, when it comes to emotional stability, you had none.
No.
Right? So I can only imagine young Adrian knocking on 1,000 doors, having people say no, and yet there's growth in that.
Oh, yeah.
So talk about that for a second. What was that like for you at the beginning?
It was a little difficult because I came in, I had no money at all. So you know how it is. When you're focused on the money aspect, your mind is all over the place. So not only was my mind all over the place, I had no idea how to control my emotions.
Right.
So when an emotional situation would occur, I would respond extremely emotionally.
Uh-huh.
And it was just not. We went through 1,000 conversations.
Well, it would take us 2 weeks
to
like go, whoa, hold on, buddy. Hold on. Let's talk about this, right?
And I remember I would get frustrated. I would leave. I don't know what I would do for 3-4 hours, come back. But I think the biggest thing was knowing that that was there and then understanding how can I fix it.
Absolutely. And so I believe, as I'm sure you do, that one of the reasons that people get stuck in our business is the inability to control their emotions.
100%.
Because it is a very emotional business.
Right.
You set an appointment, you get excited. The appointment cancels, you feel like crap, right?
Exactly.
You make a sale, you get excited. The sale falls out of escrow, you're back to feeling like crap, right? Talk about that, because I don't know if you realize it, but again, I think it was a blessing that you were so emotional because you had to learn how to fix it.
Right.
And how is that bearing fruit in your business today?
Hmm. Well, it's definitely helped. Let's call it on an astronomical level. It's definitely helped.
Right.
And the reason being is because I had to fall right on my face for me to understand what that felt like. And I'm glad that it happened at such a minimal amount as far as my commission checks were concerned.
Absolutely.
Now, as I'm getting into the higher end market and I'm starting to really go through, you know, if an escrow's in, it's $90,000, $100,000 paycheck.
Right.
And I feel like if I didn't go through that beginning stage of learning my emotions, I don't know how I would take it now.
Today.
If, call it $80,000 fell out.
Fell out of escrow, absolutely.
Right.
Okay, great. So you're moving along.
Right.
Career's going good. How many homes did you close your first year?
First year, I believe it was six.
Six deals.
Six deals, right.
Okay, yeah, great. Deals. Fantastic. And I remember vividly one of those times you were hosting an open house.
Right.
And it was, you know, we're very big on tracking numbers.
Right.
You were tracking your numbers, so it was obvious that you were speaking to people. Another lesson you learned was that you got to close, right? And you got to learn how to ask the right questions to lead to a powerful close. And I know that some of our listeners might have a hard time with that. Like, people just have this hard time with selling.
Right.
And what they need to realize is that whether they like it or not, you know, you're going to be speaking to people. You might as well speak to them in a way that will cause them to get what they want and you to get what you want. That's what sales is really all about. So talk about that. How did learning how to sell help you to improve your ratios and improve your numbers?
And really glad you brought that up, because if it wasn't for me tracking my numbers, and if it wasn't for the foundation of saying, hey, Adrian, you need to know exactly how many contacts is getting you an appointment, right, how many appointments are actually getting you a signed contract. And when I started to realize that, I started to understand, and I was able to make adjustments based off of where I was at. Mm-hmm. And you, right after that open house, I remember vividly, I was getting no appointments,
right,
making astronomical amount of contacts. We were able to pull aside and we were able to adjust. It was exactly what I was saying and how I was saying
it. And that's exactly right.
We literally switched it.
Do you remember?
I do. I remember very well.
So let's give them an example. Right. So what were you saying? Give them an example. I know it's tough.
I believe they would walk in. I wasn't even asking the foundation questions. It was more of, oh, hey, nice to meet you. You know, do you live in the neighborhood? Yeah. Do you know anything about the home? Okay, great. Here's a flyer.
Right.
You know, let me know if you need any help.
Right.
And then I would go through.
Which right away, that's a mistake already.
Right, exactly.
Okay, good.
And then I would go through, and instead of asking them, I would tell them, and I would just pretty much, I call it vomit all over them verbally.
Right.
In regards to just saying, oh, this and this and this. They never did I ask anything about them.
About them.
Right.
And it was, do you feel that it was because the conversation that was going out was based off of the thoughts that were coming in?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I had no idea how to mentally take a prospect to call it a pre-qualification stage,
right,
to going out and looking at property.
Fantastic. And then when you learned to do that second year,
right,
how many deals did you close?
Second year was 14 deals.
14 deals, so right, which is double and then some, which
right,
is great, which is good. And then something happened, and I'll never forget this, because this is one of the things that I'm proudest of you of. Is was that a correct English sentence?
I believe.
Proudest of you of?
Could be.
Okay, whatever. It is now, right? Was the fact that, you know, I'll never forget you. You know, you're a big thinker.
Right.
And I love big thinkers. I'm a big thinker as well, you know? And I'll never forget you said, hey, you know, I want to go after the high end.
Right.
And, you know, I remember the game plan was, okay, listen, that's great. Take baby steps, right? You know, first get a little bit of a higher price range and then go for the kill and then go for the big, which is exactly what you ended up doing. So let's share with our viewers and our listeners right now. So first year, what was your average sales price?
Like 189.
Okay, 189.
Yeah, 189.
So you were selling like one bedroom houses or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. Second year, what was your average sales price?
Second year was $275.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. $275. Third year, what was your average sales price?
$425.
That's, so these are big jumps.
Right.
And I think people listen. Most people don't make those jumps in a lifetime, let alone in three consecutive years. What was your average sales price last year?
Last year, my average sales price was $800,000.
Was $800,000. Okay, so listen to me. And you closed a lot of deals.
I did, yeah.
So how much volume did you do, let's say, your first year?
Oh, I went through this the other day. The first year was like $2.8 million.
$2.8 million. Right. How much volume did you do last year?
$16.5 million.
And by the way, did you work harder, just as hard, or not as hard as you did your first year?
Probably not as hard as I
probably not as hard, yeah, right? Which is what happens, guys, when you work on the things that we teach you on this show.
Right.
The whole key in business is to be profitable, right? Profitable in your time, profitable in everything that you do. Specifically for us as salespeople, the way I like to think about it is that if you're going to be away from your family, you might as well make an impact out there.
Right.
And that's what you did.
Right.
So share with our listeners. You know, they're stuck in a $250,000 price range. What's step number one to breaking out of that?
Step number one was definitely believing that you can step out of it.
Okay.
I think that was the biggest, the toughest situation that I had to go through,
right,
was understanding and truly believing that I can go do it. And then having the blind faith, to know that it's going to happen regardless. So when I...
Hold on 1 second.
Right.
Because I just finished spending time with my editor. There was an entire chapter on blind faith.
Okay.
And that's something that is so big that people could be listening and go, okay, yeah, blind faith, whatever. No.
No.
Give them, like, teach them. How did you develop blind faith?
You know, there's a verse in the Bible. It's Matthew 7:7. Ask and you'll be given. Seek and you'll find.
Yeah.
Knock and it'll be open for you. And so I pretty much took this idea of saying, okay, I don't know exactly how this is going to happen. And to be honest, I really don't care how it's going to happen. I'm just going to set a standard. And whatever that standard is, I'm going to set it, and I'm going to push and push and do whatever I need to do. And as long as I know what I need to do on a daily, consistent basis, blind faith, something's going to happen. Now, sitting at home doing something like that obviously is not going to get me there. And a lot of people go, oh, well, I have the faith and I know I can do it, but they're not taking the action to do
steps.
It. Right.
And why do you think that is?
Well, they don't truly believe it.
Bingo.
Right. And I think a lot of people go, oh, well, Adrian, I do believe it, but you don't get it. I really do believe it. And then I ask them, well, if you really believed it, wouldn't you have it already? And when I understood that, it was like, whoa, okay. So all I need to do is A, B, and C throughout the entire week. Right. I set the intention on what I know I need to do, and whatever you choose to believe in will be there to push you and put you in the right direction.
So this type of mindset and thinking obviously took a lot of coaching, right, a lot of books, a lot of personal development, a lot of soul searching, right, because the fact is, Adrian, is that, you know, you're obviously a young man, but you're learning this very early on, is that we live in a country where literally whatever you want to create and become is possible.
Right.
And yet, less than 20% of the population is doing amazing things.
Right.
So what are some of the steps if they wanted to start developing their own blind faith? Give them one or two steps that they can do.
Well, I believe it's Ern Nightingale says it best. You know, you believe, you become what you think about.
Absolutely.
Most of the time.
Right.
And I'm going to challenge you all to really sit down and think about what is it that you're thinking about at the end of the day. What are you listening to? Who are you around? At 25 years old, this wasn't easy.
Right.
You know, I have friends. They want to go out. They want to go to the club. They want to go drink. I had to learn that that wasn't going to get me anywhere. I needed to completely change that, even to the music that I listen to.
Absolutely.
I mean, there really is no music. You go into my car and it's podcasts on top of more, you
know, audiobooks
right, and training manuals, and, you know, use my car as what I like to call it, like literally it's a college on wheels,
because
it's literally everything that's in there. But you have to change all of that in order for you to get on that right path. So
absolutely. Next question for you. Okay, so you're now 4.5 years in the business, or how?
No, I believe, because the first year I was working with you.
Right.
So technically licensed. This Three. Is going on my third year, right?
Which is incredible, right? Let's talk about some of the basics, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm going to open up to some of the questions that some of our listeners have already been sending us, which, by the way, thank you. I'm going to work really hard to make sure that every single one of you that reaches out to us gets their questions answered. And this is a question from Albert Preciado from Realty One Group. So, Albert, if you're out there, thank you for tuning in. Here's a question. If you move to a new state or town, what lead generation activities would you implement immediately?
Right. Well, it's a great question, especially the fact that I'm actually moving, changing markets. One of the first things that I'm implementing is I'm going around and I'm meeting these neighbors, right? And the first thing you got to do is get out there. And don't be afraid to tell anybody that you're new to the area, because I think it's a great conversation piece. Okay. So a lot of what I've been doing lately is I've been going, and a lot of just sold or expired, and I let them know, hey, I'm new to the area, and I would love for me to benefit you, and ultimately, who do you know that I can help buy or sell a home?
Okay.
And I noticed they're really receptive to that. A lot of people think I'm moving to this new area. Don't tell them that I'm new, right? What the way I see it is, if we go in there, we create a conversation piece. There, people are there to help people.
Right.
They're going to lead you in the right direction.
Absolutely. Great answer. Here's another one for you, Adrian. And I want to clarify this. 16.5 million closed.
Right.
3 full years in the business. What percentage of your business is listing-based versus buyer-based?
Last year, it was 80% listing base.
80% listing base.
Right.
Okay, again, you know, this is our second interview in a row now where you're starting to notice a trend, where you're starting to notice that the people that follow the system that we teach focus on acquiring listings.
Right.
I'm going to flat out ask you, if you were out with buyers in your car all day long, do you think that you would have managed to be able to accomplish what you accomplished last year?
No way. Reason being is you're the employer. You know, at the end of the day, I'm sorry, you're the employee as
right,
a buyer's agent. At the end of the day, I'm choosing to be the employer, which is obviously, you profit more.
Right.
You know, and you have more time.
Okay. Fantastic. And so there are people out there that they are, again, they're ready to do a little blind faith. And they're really going to say, you know, they've heard this twice now, and this is going to be a recurring topic, right? Because we're going to push you, right? Part of you becoming great is by you understanding where to invest your time,
right?
What are some of the things that they need to do on a daily basis in order to become better listing agents? Give them one tip.
Skill set. Okay. 110% skill set. Practice your craft. I believe it's a malpractice to not know what to say and how to say it because you're doing a disservice to the client. And unfortunately, that's what our business is built around. It's built around, you know, you supposedly learn how to go in there and you're supposed to help this client, but yet the average agent is only thinking about their paycheck.
That's it.
That's it.
Right.
So first thing is put the commission out of the way, get unattached to that, focus on helping them. Focus on what to say, how to say it, and most importantly, know what you're talking about. Know the market. A lot of people, you'll walk into an open house and they'll make up, 20 homes sold last month. Did they really?
Right.
I mean, what exactly do you, and you see it all the time. And so I would say that's probably, it's really learning. Skill set, getting back to the basics, and prospecting on a daily, consistent basis.
All right. So that was a lot that he said, by the way. Okay, I've got another question for you for one of our listeners. This one comes from Victor Nino from Keller Williams out in Texas. Wonderful friend of ours. He says, and this is big. It's a little bit of a trick question because I know the answer and I might answer this one, but knowing that you know the way we think and operate, I think you know right. The answer. But he says, what do you say when a seller asks you, what do you do differently? What makes you different, or how do you stand apart from the competition? What do you say when a seller asks you that?
Well, it's a phenomenal question. And what I would say in a situation like that is I would turn it back around and I would say, well, Mr. Seller, what I hear you really telling me here is that there are certain things you're looking for in a real estate professional. So tell me, if you were to hire an agent, what exactly are you looking for in the professional that you hire?
Okay. What you just did, this was like some Jedi sales mastery, what he just said right now. And I'm going to go ahead and role play that with you.
Okay.
Because I want them to hear this. But before we role play that, if you go on, because this was going to be my answer, and I'm sure you're going to agree. If you go on 10 listing appointments, how many people actually say something like that to you?
Yeah, It doesn't. It doesn't come up.
It doesn't come up, right?
No. If you have a great presentation, it's not going to come up at all.
Say that again, please.
If you have a great presentation, it doesn't even come up. Objections.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
So all of last year, how many times did anybody say to you, what are you going to do differently?
Not once.
Not once.
No.
Not one time.
I haven't personally received that.
Okay, good. And we believe that the reason that happens is that happens when you have an amazing presentation.
Right.
But you can only get an amazing presentation if you put in the hours and you work on it.
100%.
Okay.
And also going back to skill set, knowing what to say when you're on the phone with them initially.
Right.
I mean, I pick out everything, the whole frustration about the agent, you're picking that out as you're talking to them on the phone.
Absolutely.
And you're taking notes. Now I already know what his frustration is without him even having to verbally, well, let's call it actually tell me.
Okay. So let's role play this now.
Okay.
Because I want you to pay attention to what he's going to do. He's going to level shift and he's going to take him in a completely different direction and he's going to answer the question with the question. And then whatever they say, he's going to come out with, yeah, that's exactly what I do. You guys ready? Okay, so Adrian, I gotta ask you. I mean, you know, everything sounds great, but you know what are you gonna do differently than everybody else that's come by?
Right. And, you know, Danny, that's an awesome question. I'm glad you bring it up. And I got to ask him, what it really sounds like you're saying is you're looking for some key things in the professional that you hire. So tell me, what exactly are you looking for in the real estate agent that you hire tonight?
Wow. Well, which right away, when you do that, it puts it on them. Right. And half the time, they don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
They'll come up with the easiest things,
right.
Which is, I want professional marketing,
okay.
And I want someone that sells a lot of houses,
right.
And I want someone that's going to net me the top dollar. Would you then close by?
Right. So I would say, okay, great, Danny. And based off of my presentation, can you see that I'm really going to market your property to the fullest?
By the way, if you're watching on video, he's shaking his head yes, and I am too. Yes.
Right. Great. And based off of the presentation, you also can see that I'm going to get you the most amount of money possible off of the sale of the transaction, right?
That's correct, yes.
Great. And most importantly, you can see that I'm going to communicate with you on a weekly basis to ultimately let you know everything that's happening throughout the transaction. That is what you wanted, right?
That is what you want. Yes, it is. Fantastic.
Great. Danny, let's go ahead and do the right thing. Let's sign the contract now so I can help you get what you want in the time you want. Won't that be great?
And for those of you listening on the podcast, we're believers, which, by the way, I have mine too. We're believers. Carry your pocket in your inner left side. Get ready to pull it out because let's just do a little, be honest, right?
Right.
If you go on 10 presentations and you pull out a pen and you hand it to the client 10 times.
Eight of them
are going to grab it and do something, right? Well, if you don't do that at all, guess what? They're not going to do that, right?
100%.
That was so strong. Now listen, I got to tell you something, and I'm going to brag a little bit about what we do here.
Right.
But I don't think, you see, I think people here locally in the area are seeing the growth, not only of our agents, but of our company.
100%.
And some of them are scratching their heads going like, what is going on over there? Like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
And you just saw it because that was live, unedited. Did I tell you I was going to do that?
Not at all.
But he was ready to respond. And it's amazing to me. And I want you to speak on this. I think it's so important who you decide to surround yourself with. And it's so important who you let influence your life. I'll never forget. This was three years ago or so, something along those lines. You know, I don't go to very many seminars. I only choose to go to Mike Ferry seminars or Tony Robbins or the stuff that really actually works.
Right.
And yet there are local real estate coaches somewhere around here, right, that I'll never forget. I went to a seminar and right on stage, the coach goes, how would you handle this objection? And everybody on stage got like dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say, right? And that's because you don't know what to say if you don't know what to say, right? Talk to them about this. We talked about the practicing, but how important is the people that you surround yourself with? Mm-hmm. How important is the mentorship that you have in your life? I mean, if you want to be average, it's not important, but if you want to be extraordinary, how important is that, Adrian?
It's extremely important. And, you know, it's funny, my girlfriend gets mad at me because I have more bills and coaching programs than I do in anything else. And we go through our expenses. She's like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
But I know that I need to have a coach and I need to influence myself and my peers. I need to be able to surround myself with the best. They say you're an average of the five people you hang out with the most. Right. So I made sure that I picked those people very diligently.
Right.
And not only that, but I'm consistently communicating with them. I'm not afraid to move my ego aside and let them know what's going on and saying, hey, look, I'm really having this, you know, this problem, help me, or I'm having this frustration, help me.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would be where I'm at today, because you need the help of others. A lot of people try to do it on their own. I have five coaches. I mean,
you know, I have four coaches myself.
Yeah.
It actually boggles my mind. I don't understand how people don't get the fact that they can't accomplish it on their own. Yeah. I mean, I can.
No.
I need help. And when you look at any professional athlete, any professional actor, they all have coaches. We need it as well, you know. Adrian, you said something very interesting. You said, you know, where I'm at in my life. And it's pretty awesome because the gift you've given yourself because of the price that you've been willing to pay is that, I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember getting really excited when I was your age,
right,
thinking to myself, oh my God,
yeah,
like if I was able to do this at 25, what can I do at 35?
Right.
Like, you know, that's exciting, right? We were just having a conversation earlier today. We're going to be taking a little trip to Cabo.
Right.
A buddy of ours getting married. We were looking into the presidential suite if we want it.
Right.
We're going to get a yacht if we want it. We can do whatever we want to do, right?
Exactly.
And then on top of that, the greatest part of this all, you're about to open an office in Mission Viejo in Orange County where you can now experience the ultimate level in personal development, which is giving back. So talk to them about that. How does that feel?
Well, you see, it's funny, Danny. I want to take us back because I want you guys to really understand. And it's really glad you're bringing this up. It was, and it actually goes back further. The first corporate awards that we went to, in
San Jose.
San Jose.
Right.
We were driving back, and I just remember seeing, I wasn't even licensed at the time. I was your assistant at the time.
That's right.
And I remember seeing all these big producers, and I'm like, damn, if they can do it, I can really do this.
Right.
And I remember creating, it said South Orange County Intero, and I created a banner. It was 20 years old. It wasn't even 21 years old.
That's awesome.
So it's very surreal for us to actually be moving in this position, for us to be opening the doors, because to me it was like, whoa, okay, I literally, this was a thought
that literally manifested
awesome. Within less than 3 years.
Awesome.
Which is phenomenal.
And so what do you think? You nervous? You excited? What do you?
Yeah.
Because now it's your turn.
Right.
Now it's your turn to show. There, you know what? You know how God works. Like, you're going to get this emotional roller coaster that's going to come walking in through your doors one of these days, right?
And it's going to be good, because I'm a huge, huge, huge believer on the law of contribution.
Yeah.
So for me, this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be able to learn the craft, really get good at it, and teach it to other people, especially.
Awesome.
And for me, it's like, just because you helped me how young I was, is to find somebody that's 19, 20 years old, that, and hopefully they walk in the door, and it was pretty much me 20 years ahead, and it's like, well, okay, here you go.
Awesome. Fantastic.
I think that's life-changing.
It's full circle.
All the way around.
All the way full circle.
All the way around.
In closing, what's one thing that you can leave them with, or you know, before we even do that, what are your goals? What do you see in the next 5 years?
Right. Next 5 years, I definitely, first, it's going to be to control all of Orange County as far as the offices are concerned. And I do want to develop a good team. I want to at least do 100 transactions at an average of 1.2 million.
Good.
That I see in the next 5 years. And I definitely see just really creating a big following to where we're putting back, and we're really contributing back to the community, giving and uplifting literally everything that we do. I wrote out a 5-year vision. It's very, very detailed, along with that, with the house overlooking the beach and all that. The main fundamental is creating a foundation where we're giving back to these children. And so
awesome.
For me, that's what it is.
I love it. Give them one tip. One last tip.
One last tip. Get out of your way. Seriously, get out of your way. Stop acting like we know it all. Stop acting like, you know, we think that we're going to come up with some magic pill and it's going to happen overnight.
Right.
Know and trust the process. This is not going to happen overnight. Do whatever you can do to any self-limiting belief, anything that you know clouds your mind. Find a way to get out of that.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just like nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are either growing or we're shrinking and we're dying.
Wow.
And staying in one position doesn't work, which is why, believe it or not, trees move. They need to move to other locations to grow. And I believe it's the same thing with humans.
I love it. I love it. There you have it. Adrian Hernandez, guys, from assistant to 16 and a half million to in 5 years controlling Orange County real estate.
Right.
There's no reason not only why it can't not happen. I mean, I think he's proven that anything he says actually happens. So once again, guys, I hope you enjoyed your time here on this show. If you're watching us on our YouTube channel, thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe. We're going to be coming every single Wednesday. For those of you that are watching basically anywhere, go to iTunes right now. If you feel that this content has been valuable, has been inspiring, has taught you something, well, the only way that we can continue doing this is if you give us a hand. Go ahead and give the show a rating, a 5-star rating or above. That's a joke because there is no above, right? But give us a 5-star rating. Write a review, you know, and feel free to open up. You know, what do you think about the show, and what are you learning from it? And then most importantly, there's a lot of people you know, whether they're in real estate sales or not, that could use this type of inspiration, this type of education. Share the show with them. And if you could do those three things, guys, I got to tell you, this is going to be a fun journey. I think you learned a lot. Adrian, if they want to reach out to you, how do they get in touch with you on social media?
You can reach me on Instagram. That's Adrian _H7. Or you can reach me on Facebook, which is Real Estate by Adrian Hernandez.
I love it. I love it. Guys, until next time, this is episode number 4 of the Real Estate Sales Show. I know that you got a lot of value from this one, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Danny.